Okay, it's 7 p.m. and it's time to start the meeting. Do I hear a motion to begin the meeting? Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. Thank you, Commissioner Adams. First thing on the agenda is Pledge of Allegiance, and then we'll do a moment of silence. Prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, on the line with us this evening is Ms. Hahn. She is our auditor for our city, and we have the fiscal year 2023 audit presentation. So, Ms. Hahn, it's up to you. Go ahead. Where you want us to start?
Thank you. If you guys have questions, you can interrupt me anytime. I appreciate you allowing me to present this way this evening. We completed the audit. This was the second year we've completed the audit for the City of Worthington Hills. We had great cooperation from both the mayor and the treasurer, Mr. Small, so we appreciate that and being able to complete our audit work. If you go to page 2 of the report that you have, that is the independent auditor's report. We're issuing a clean or an unmodified opinion on the financial statements for the year ended June 30, 2023. It states in the second paragraph there that it is our opinion that the financial statements are fairly presented in accordance with accounting principles generally accepted in the United States of America. The second paragraph goes on to say that we completed our audit in accordance with U.S. auditing standards as well as governmental auditing standards. And then the rest of the report includes what breaks down the responsibilities of both management and as the auditors. On page 3, the bottom shows the required supplementary information that is included in a governmental audit, and that includes the management's discussion and analysis and the budgetary comparison information for the general and special revenue fund. While those items are required to be included, it's not common and we do not express an opinion on those two parts of the financial statement. And then on page 4 at the top, it refers to another report issued in accordance with government auditing standards on internal control and compliance, and that's at the end of your packet. The management's discussion and analysis begins on page 5. I'll highlight a few of the items in this section. The financial highlights should state that the city's the assets at the end of the fiscal year exceeded its liabilities by just under $950,000. During the fiscal year, the net position increased by $44,258, and the fund balance of the city was just over $856,000, and that increased during the year by $48,681. The difference between net position and fund balance is the statement they're shown on. That's shown below. The government-wide statements is more of full accrual accounting, like a private business. It includes all assets of the city as well as all long-term debt of the city. The fund financial statements are your traditional governmental financial statements, and they focus more on the current financial resources and expenditures required of the city. On page 6, there is a table 1 showing your net position, and this compares it this year to last year. So you can see at the bottom the net position increased from $905,000 at the end of the previous fiscal year to $949,561 this year. On the next page, the statement of activities table compares this year's revenues to last year's. There was an increase of about $65,000 in revenues, and then your expenses, they were almost exactly the same, so they were stayed pretty equal to last year. So overall, that created this year's increase in that position of $44,000 compared to last year, there was a decrease of $21,000. The next section is the financial analysis of the city funds. The second paragraph there points out that the unassigned fund balance or available for general spending of the city was $530,000. And then within the special revenue fund, there was a fund balance of $325,621. On the next page, page 8, there's a disclosure related to capital assets. And then the long-term debt, stating the city has no long-term debt as of June 30, 2023. The statements themselves begin on page 9. You have your statement of net position. Again, this is a similar to table 1 we just discussed. And then on page 10, table 2 is reflected in the statement of activity. On page 11, your balance sheet for the governmental fund shows both the general and the special revenue fund. The special revenue fund for the city is those funds that are restricted for road expenditures. And overall, the total governmental funds had assets of $887,775. The total liabilities were $10,161. And deferred revenue of property taxes was $21,000. That left your fund balance of $856,114. On page 12, we reconcile that fund balance to the net position of the governmental activities. The differences for the city relate to the capital assets as well as the deferred property taxes that are collected. On page 13, you have the statement of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balance. Total revenues for both funds were $398,000, and total expenditures were $349,479. The excess revenues over expenditures were $48,681. Page 14 reconciles that amount to your increase in your net position. And both of those reconciling items are, again, related to capital assets depreciation expense and the deferred property taxes. The notes to the financial statements begin on page 15. Note A is the summary of significant accounting policies. These are standard policies for cities and other governmental entities. I'll flip over to page 19, and the note B on the deposits of the city. The deposits are fully collateralized either by FDIC insurance or securities held by financial institutions in the city's name. So there were no uninsured cash balances as of June 30. And then on note C, there's a disclosure related to your capital assets. No additions this year, but there was depreciation of just over $6,000 recorded. The remaining notes are similar to prior years, disclosure related to the property taxes and the timing of those assessments and required collections. Note H is an economic dependency note, saying that 40-30% of the revenue is generated from insurance premium taxes. Other notes are, again, standard to governmental entities. On page 21 and 22, we have the budget to actual schedule. On your general fund, your actual revenue was about $9,400 more than what you had budgeted. And then on the expenditures were just about $16,000 less than the amount that was budgeted. The special revenue fund also has favorable differences. The revenue was just up a little bit, and the expenditures for the road repairs were less than budget by quite a bit, $139,000. And then on page 24, we have a our second report that I mentioned, the governmental audit. This is the report on internal control over financial reporting and on compliance. We gain an understanding of internal control, and we do some testing, but in a governmental audit, we do not express an opinion on the effectiveness of the internal control. We define there's what a deficiency in internal control is and the different levels of deficiencies, and we've stated that we did not identify any deficiencies in internal control that we can consider to be material weaknesses. We found nothing that would need to be reported to commissioners or management. And then at the top of the second page, we've noted that we also disclose no instances of noncompliance within the city that are required to be reported under governmental auditing standards. And that is the 2023 audit report. Are there any questions for me?
Y'all have any questions? All right. If I no question, do I hear a motion to accept the fiscal year 2023 as presented?
I make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Beville. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. The vote was unanimous. Well, Stephanie, I thank you very much again, and I hope... I hope you'll continue to provide us with this service. We try to make it easy for you. And would you file this with the audit department down in Frankfort, or where we've got to go?
Yes, we can do that. And I appreciate working with you guys. Look forward to doing it in the future. Technology makes it easy that we can share a lot of information. But I also would at some point like to come down and meet you guys.
Well, maybe we can get this done a lot sooner. I hate to have you out here in the dark. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But we'll work it out.
Yeah, we'll work it out. Well, again, thank you very much. And would you copy Dan and me on your report to Frankfort?
I will.
And Bev, just go ahead and include the clerk, too.
Okay.
So it's all the same. It's mayor, clerk, and treasurer. Okay?
Okay. Yep.
All right. Thank you very much. You have a blessed evening, okay?
You too. You guys have a nice Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Excuse me while I put this on. Do not disturb. Okay. All right. So another good year. Thank you very much. City Commission has a lot to do with that, making sure things get done right. Okay. Next thing on the agenda is 15-minute time period for citizen comments. So if anybody's got any citizen comments, now's the time. Well, let's first introduce ourselves, okay? All right. I'm Mayor Stoneham. Go ahead, Dan.
I'm Dan Stoneham, City Treasurer.
I'm Beth Lesh, City Clerk.
Dallas Metcalf, Health and Safety Commissioner.
I'm Crystal Adams. I'm the Property Maintenance Commissioner.
Susan Poppin, Utility Commissioner.
Linda Buell, Road Commissioner.
Okay. So we don't have any comments. Or concerns, we'll move along to the October 17th, 2023 city meeting minutes, which were posted on the website. Does anybody have any corrections or need anything?
I have mine that are written down. I have October's written down, and I was going to give that to Beth this evening. And I cannot access my phone, and it's with Spectrum right now. So I had jotted down.
Okay. Well, when you get them over to Bev and Bev gets them, she'll send me a corrected copy so we can get them updated on the website. All right. With that correction, do I hear a motion to accept the October 17, 2023 city meeting minutes?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. City's financial reports for October 2023. Those were all distributed. The basics are put onto the website. Was there any corrections that anybody needed to have done? I didn't get anything, so I'm assuming I'm like, okay, it's another month.
Good to me. I'll make the motion to approve that.
All right. Commissioner Adams, thank you for your motion for accepting the financial reports. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner McCaff. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, the invoice receipts and reimbursement sheets went around and signed off. Old business. Is there any commissioner that have?
I just want to report the plants. Most of them got planted, so I have pictures. I don't know if you all want to see it. I'll start down here. So I got the barberry plants planted on the front island here, and then we have the crepe myrtle planted on Boynton in the front there. And then we have just two crepe myrtles that were planted in the flagpole area, like coming from Halifax to North Berlin. So that's where they are. I know that you had mentioned you wanted to see where they were.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure they got where they're. I didn't know where they were going. I just knew they.
They'll be really.
And I can forward this to you if you want.
Well, as long as you have it saved on.
I have it in the property commission email.
Yeah. Those are going to be pretty in the spring.
They bloom all the way.
Look at that. They're marked. The only two that didn't get planted yet are the Unanimous, Max and Contra is going to plant those in the next week to 10 days. He was busy with leaf cleanup, so he didn't quite get to that. But the Unanimous is going to go behind the easement where the tree fell near Rustwood.
Where'd you put the tall crepe myrtle?
It's that one there.
Okay.
It doesn't look like it from that picture, but like.
Okay. That's where it was supposed to go. That's where I just want to make sure, because that was the one I picked out.
Yeah, like that's. See, that one's bigger than that one. So that it went on the right side of the rose bush.
Where did that last plant, where is it going to be planted?
The Unanimous is going to be planted in the green space area. Near where the tree fell, near Rustburg Court.
Thank you.
And there's two of those plants that are going to be planted. Other than that, Max of Longcar said that he got everything pruned, and most of the leaves are taken care of. Not all the leaves have fallen yet, but he figures that he's about 90% done.
Okay. Anything else?
I did call Evergreen about the water meter, but they haven't called me back yet, so I'm going to follow up with them.
Okay. I'll let them know they're not to go out there and just automatically turn it on in the spring, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. The I gave you all a copy of the full agenda. And the delinquency letters were the letter formatting was approved. Don't have, do you know if they've been mailed yet or not?
I haven't heard a word.
We haven't heard. They were supposed to go out this week to the delinquent people, but if you'll notice from the financial report, we have achieved our revenue for fiscal year on the budget for property tax, which, as long as I've been in city commission, hasn't been done. So I did talk to Independence Bank about the lockbox and discussed that matter with her. So I wanted her to know what we had achieved so that she could be aware of it for any of our other clients down there. So I think that there may be something that was, we don't know what, misdirection of mail or whatever, but anyhow, the delinquency letters are going out.
I didn't understand what that meant. You talked to the bank about what?
The fact that we had met our revenue budget for fiscal year 24.
Why does the bank need to know that?
Because we hadn't done it before with the lockbox.
Okay.
Okay. I don't want to get into any accusations. Okay.
Okay.
I'm just saying it. The way it worked out this year, we have surpassed what our revenue was projected. The delinquency property tax 22 and prior. I've reviewed that list. The 22 property taxes that are delinquent haven't had liens put on them, on some of them. So I wanted them to get done with the 2023, and then we're going to deal with the 2022. Didn't want to mix everything up. I thought that was a better way of doing it because there's some of the delinquents in this year are delinquent last year too. So okay, the City of Worthington Hill welcoming ambassadors. It's been on the website, the need form, and I haven't gotten any phone calls.
Sherry, yes. I don't know if you all, do you know how to, or have you accessed the City of Worthington Hill's website?
Yes.
Okay.
I've got my name.
Is this something that you all might be interested in doing? What happens is welcome bags are made up, mm-hmm. and then when a new homeowner moves into the subdivision or moves into the City of Worthington Hills, we have two ladies that go around and give them the welcome bags, you know, and it's really something that people have really, I mean, they really like. You know, and one of the ladies unfortunately passed away this year, and then the other one right now is, she has some other commitments, but I was just wondering if this is something that you all might want to think about doing.
I will think about it.
Okay. Because you're real good, I mean, you don't have any problem walking up to somebody and saying, hi, my name's Sherry, welcome to Worthington Hills, you know.
Don't think about it. It's on there. The phone number for contacting these there.
Okay.
It's something we'd like to continue doing, but there just seems to be non-committal in society these days when it comes to doing things. So, anyhow, that is an open arrangement that needs to be hopefully resolved. All right. The CORC fulfillment, have we started putting the closing information sheets with the, okay, so I wanted to make sure that gets done. This is an informational sheet that goes to the title companies when they request tax information, and it has instructions on there for new buyers of property within Worthington Hills, because information is what they needed to be getting, especially the people that are buying houses and want to either flip them or rent them, because we have two ordinances. One of them is a rental property ordinance, has to be registered, and we have a vacant homes property type of thing that has to be register when it's going to be more than 30 days. We do that, both of these, to help the owners of the property, because there's so much that goes on with tenants, and also when the house is empty, we just basically want to make sure that we can keep the owners informed. And believe it or not, it works. Okay. Handling the incident and complaint calls. Has anybody had any problems? I got a call from Mr. Shelley again.
No, I haven't heard from him.
Yeah, yeah. Seems he don't like the speed bump. So I says, file your complaint, send it to info@cityofworthingtonhillsky.gov, okay? And I would suggest slowing down when you're going over speed humps.
Is it one particular speed bump he doesn't like? Or
the school.
All of them?
The daycare one.
The daycare one.
Yeah, that's what I
thought. But I had the feeling he's not paying attention when he's coming into the city. All right.
Have you made any progress with the water company?
On what?
On them saying we have a leak?
No.
Okay. All right. I'll follow up with you after the meeting, you know, like when I get a hold of Evergreen, to give you, you know, if I can get them to send me like a report in an email, I'll forward it to you so that we can
Okay.
Talk to the water company.
All right. Here is the next thing on there is these salary adjustments, suggested salary adjustments. There's two each. One's for the city clerk, one's for the treasurer. That's why I handed two. That's city. They're printed together. Just to pass them down. Okay. I would like to get this to the point to where we can, by at least January, have them ready. Anyhow, which one you all want to do first? One's for the commissioners and one's for the clerk and treasurer.
I'll do the clerk and treasurer, and I'll make a motion to raise each one $50.
Okay, so
the clerk and the treasurer.
I'm sorry. I know y'all get aggravated at me saying but when you talk down at the table, I can't hear you. What did you say?
I'm sorry. I was going to make a motion to raise the clerk and the treasurer $50 each, so each one gets $750 a month.
Did you find the right one, Linda?
I don't have any problem with 750, but I wouldn't want to raise it any more than that. The only, and I'm asking this because I really and truly, because I don't know, I've been gone for 2 years, so I don't know. But how many hours a week, Beth, would you say that you work?
It depends on the week. I'd have to keep track of it. I really have no idea. I try to limit my days to Tuesday and Friday. When
so
we
you
go
work on Tuesdays and Fridays.
When we go to the post office, yeah, I handle all.
Okay,
that.
So that's 8 days out of the month. Two more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Maybe a half day each time, four hours each time.
And then, of course, there's the fair, and then there's the camping. I was looking back. The reason I was asking, because I was trying to figure out, and I looked back already this year, and you know, you've taken off like 35 days. That's over a month. You know,
I don't take off those days. I make it up when I come back. Nobody does my work when I'm gone. That work is done by me when I get back.
How do you make it up?
Well, I mean, if the mail comes in on Tuesday and I'm not available on Tuesday, then the next day I'm available, be it Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday again. I do that deposit. It doesn't get not done or no one else does it.
Okay.
That's also not taking into account the time that she spends in August and September with all those deposits. There's a ton, especially this past year.
Especially this year, yes.
This past year, she handled all the deposits that were brought in as opposed to them going to the... It used to be it went to the lockbox.
Property taxes.
Okay, all right. Then that makes sense. Yeah.
So in July and August, or August and September... I would say she puts in more hours than she does in
December. That's what I'm asking. And I think it would be, it's something we need to find out. You see what I'm saying? It's not that I think that we're paying you too much. It's not that. I just wanted to find out because, like you said, I only thought you were going to the post office twice a week, and that was about all you did. Because I know you have a scanner at home, you scan the checks in.
Right, I don't have to actually go to the bank anymore. But I have to get those deposits together and add them up and deposit them into the software.
So it's more than
tell him about it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's more than just going.
More than going to the post office. It's way more than going to the post office.
And then when the people need their taxes, if they've been paid, if somebody's delinquent, somebody's having a closing, I get all of those requests.
Well, that's... Yeah.
And there's certain, you know, there's that form they have to fill out.
Yeah,
send me the fee.
Yeah,
I keep track of all of those.
Did anybody else know that this is what all she does?
I don't know,
Mr. Mayor.
I know everything.
I didn't, because Bev, you and I came into this same year.
Yeah.
You know, and I had no idea what the clerk did.
Mm-hmm.
So don't think I'm picking on you.
Oh, no, not at all. You didn't know.
You know, I mean, I thought you went to the post office twice a week. And that was...
I go once a week.
Well, once
a week. Yeah, trust me. She does a lot of work.
Well, I know that, but I didn't know that before I asked.
Yeah.
Right.
And even when she's on her little jaunts to the camping and stuff, I mean, the work... It's just, I'm helping out as far as when it comes to the CORC requests come in. I log them so that when she comes back, she knows exactly what's going on. So it's quite extensive.
Yeah,
you know.
I've been to the post office with Mayor Stoneham, and I've seen the open records requests and stuff, and I'm like, man, that's a lot of stuff.
Well, I used to go to the post office, too. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, I used to go to the post office, and there's a lot to keep up with, you know.
Okay, so it's 7. Move that to 750. Okay. What I'll do is, we'll get this updated with the attorneys verifying it that it's okay, and then we'll get the we'll try and get the second read next month, if that. So we've got a 750. $50 increase starting July 1st, 2024, and we'll be.
We vote on it the second.
This is just basically a discussion period for it. It gets voted on when we after we do the second read. Okay, on the. Commissioner one, I know the one time we talked, and I went ahead and filled it in, that the amount was moving it from 300 to 400. There hasn't been an increase to the commissioners since 2000. It went into effect January 1st, 2015. And so that's now, this will go into effect in January of 2025. January 1st, 2025, which is the new commission. When they get in place, they will begin receiving the $400. Is that what we want to go with?
I mean, I still think it should be higher just because the commissioners haven't had a raise in 8 years. I think it should be at least $500. I'm not running again, so it won't affect me. But that's just my opinion.
So, I just need a number to put in there. Is 400 or 500? What do you all want to do? What's the majority you want to do?
I mean, I think we have the budget money to do it. We were over 26,000.
Wait a minute. I'm going to stop you right there now, okay? It doesn't matter what we did last year. It's what we know we're going to have to deal with. A budget's a budget. For four people, okay, that's 12 times four. That's 4,800 that way, but it's 9,600. That's almost $10,000 more if we go with the 500. And we can't be dependent. It's just like anything else. We never know what's going to happen from 1 year to the next. And we do know one thing, and that is we can't trust Rumkey's on their increase. Okay? And we have to have waste disposal.
And it wouldn't surprise me if we don't get another utility increase on water as well.
Yeah. Well, that's the reason why we try to keep it down to 3 months. July, August, and September. Okay? Because we know what they do. All right? And like this year, we really didn't need any water. Okay? So if we turn it on, we automatically get the backflow, which I think is the biggest ripoff there is, especially when it's there. It's an EPA requirement, I guess. It's one of those safety things, okay? So they just pass it on to us, all right? So by leaving it off, it saved us $1,500 this year.
We're going to see it. Don't you think we're going to see it with not doing yard waste in the wintertime, too? I think that's
Did we vote for that? Are we not doing yard waste?
I was bringing that up tonight, yes.
No, we didn't. Okay, we'll get to that in a second, okay?
Okay. And with regards to the water, I do think we're going to have to turn it on next year to water the new plants. So
there is that as well. Well, we'll know in the spring if they start getting good rainfall. But
we have a lot of snow this winter, so we're
happy. I wish y'all wouldn't say that word in the city meetings, okay? That's a banned word in the city meetings. Yes. Just say the white stuff. I try to stay away from that word as much as possible. But I do know one thing. We're in El Nidro. 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 El Nidro. Nidro.
There's no D. There's an N.
Nino.
Nino.
Nino. Okay. El Nino. And from all the projections, all the bad water is supposed to go south of us. We're just supposed to stay the same. And north of us is supposed to be drier. So who knows what's going to happen.
But anyway, back to the amount of money.
Yeah, the amount of money is a thing, you know. We can deal with, in my opinion, okay, and again, we're voting for the next commission.
Yeah,
we're not voting for this commission. We're voting for the next commission. And even though it's been 8, 9, it'll be 10 years, okay? It's not anything that we can deal with other than it's $100. The last raise they got was $50 in 15. It was $250. And that started, I think, in, if I remember right, reading the minutes back, that started in 2011 or 2012. Must have been 2011 on that commission when they got in. So it's about the right amount, the $100. So if the majority wants $400, we'll put that in and have the attorney do it, or I can put it off another month while y'all talk about it again, or do we do 400 and just so we can get through this,
or you want to split the difference and do 450? I don't know,
I'm fine with 400. I mean, you know, I'm on the fence with a lot of it. I don't feel well enough to go into it, but I'm 500, I guess.
Would you feel better for 50?
No. Okay. I mean,
okay. What do you think, Dennis?
I think 400 is good enough.
Okay. All right. So we'll get this to our city attorney, our city legal group, and get them to make sure that everything's cool, and he puts his name on it, and then we'll vote on it at the next city meeting.
Mr. Mayor, you're not going to take a pay cut now to subsidize
this. I can't take a pay cut.
Good.
I can't take a pay cut because even though I would like to, unfortunately, it doesn't matter. Nothing can happen to any salaries during the time of their serving, okay? Up or down, left or right, okay? It all has to remain the same.
Well, I don't think you should have to. You do your job. You have your wear and tear on your car, your time, your gasoline.
I'm just happy to be in this position, okay?
We're glad for it.
Well, I'm glad we have a great commission, bunch of commissioners, because that is a real issue, you know?
I just don't want our tax dollars
to have to pay. Yeah, exactly.
That's my main thing.
Okay.
That.
Well, we don't have another assessment until 27. Okay? That's the next. It's every 5 years. Our last one was 22. Next one's 27.
Okay? So you still can raise it 4% every year, right?
Yeah, you can still raise it, but we don't have to worry about it. And with the way the waste management companies are...
Yeah, we're going to have to
manipulate. There's nothing you can do.
Don't point to me.
I've been
paying for trash pickup 27 years now, believe me. But it's because
I'm not
dealing with
it.
I'm not paying the price. Exactly.
Definitely not.
All
right.
All utilities, you know, that we're all using, that we've all been using.
Well, you can thank EPA for that. Green space litter problem, still no change.
Great.
Out there every Wednesday or Thursday.
Are we going to discuss that every month?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been noticed a lot of boxes out in the yards last night. I don't know if the wind is blowing them.
boxes?
Yeah, all through the Bay Run. There were boxes scattered in people's yards.
I don't know where they came from.
Yeah, I don't either.
Probably said
I saw about five of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Emergency communication equipment. What's our radio check?
You're going to do radio checks on channel 2.
Channel 2. Don't forget. All right, new business.
I think I had old business.
What?
About the yard waste collection in the winter.
Oh. The yard waste collection is still going to continue because Rumpke never sent me any documentation. Hmm. And that's the reason why the rates are still the same. The first week after our last that city meeting where we talked about it, you know, and I told them to get us something. I called them and left them a message. Never got anything. So I'm assuming that it went to the higher ups and they just decided, oh no.
So does that mean we're going to have to pay yard waste probably next year too until the contract
Well, we probably. That's the way they do their calculations. And part of the reason is I guess they want every single dime they can get. We'll know next time. Contract's not up this year. Our last full year begins next July. So
2024? July 2024?
That we're on the last contract year then, okay? But here again, I think these waste management companies are colluding. I still believe it. I'll put it on record. Keep your eyes open when you see... There's another couple of waste management or waste collection services. We know of Republic, we know of Waste Management and Rumpke, but there's another one running around out there now.
You know what city?
It's Eco something. It's Eco something, isn't it, Dennis?
I think so, yeah.
Was it a green dumpster by any chance? I know that there's a recycle place that they have some green dumpsters that they pick up.
No, this looks like a regular regular trash pickup truck.
Computers and stuff from businesses, hospitals.
Hmm.
Yeah, they refurbish them or recycle.
Okay.
Have you seen them just around Jefferson County or other?
No, I've seen them around Jefferson County.
Okay.
Of course. We're on top of them before we can get the phone number down.
That just said there's no selection. I mean, we only have, you know, a few to choose from.
Right.
And they know that, and they're going to use it to their advantage.
By the way, I talked to our legislators about that fact also. So... financial statements. I know Linda said she's got hers. And here's one for Susan and here's one for they're empty. Do you need one?
I can print it out.
Okay, all right. Have these back to me next month and so that we can get this in a timely fashion to our ethics boards. If you have any questions on what needs to be filled out, just give me a holler. Okay, but this is part of the ethics ordinance that's required to be done annually. Okay. I put on here to remind people that the 2024 commissioner election petition period ends on June 4th at 4 p.m. I sent you a copy of the PDF for that page that pertains to that. So if you're looking to run for city commission again, that period for the petition to be done is June 4th, 4 p.m. Boyden Court Reconstruction Landscape Area. This was brought to my attention. I went out there and looked at it, and even though that it's kind of funky looking right now, it's winter. So my opinion is we'll put some additional rock on there next spring after the weather, okay? Because by then, maybe even some of the dirt will have settled down. The original landscaping, they put down that weed control mat, which was the worst thing they could have done. Some of that's exposed. So that's my recommendation. Is anybody,
what happened? Did the sod just die burn up there? What?
No, when we cut the curb,
yeah,
they took and put, they moved that rock back.
Right.
Okay. Well, when they moved the rock back, also they also dug up part of the soil that was right there in the curb.
Oh, okay.
So it's,
and I glanced over during the street. I said, I'm like, is there a little fire there?
Yeah,
it looked like
it got kind of tore up from the paving project. I can say a little bit. You know, I had Maximus Lawn Care go out there and look at it too. He gave a couple different options, but he hasn't given me any pricing yet. He said option one is cut everything out, regrade it, and put in all new plants, because the way that the dirt is higher than the curb, it used to go kind of down like this, you know, where there was more, not as steep of a slope, if that makes sense. So, I mean, he's saying the dirt was tapered down to the curb in the past. It's now about 16 inches high from the top of the rock to the top of the curb, or where the rocks are to the curb. And he said the curb isn't as tall as the rest of the island, and they cut out the lowest part of the flower bed. The rock won't stay, and it's just going to roll down the hill onto the roadway. He said we could cut everything out, regrade it, put in all new plants, and then do the landscaping, grab everything new rock. We could try to regrade a little bit. Option two is try to regrade a little bit up to the rose bushes and install some kind of like curb material. You know, like the black garden.
No way.
Stuff. We could put that along the curb area.
We just plant
to like build it up.
Sod in there.
That's an option, I suppose. We'd have to remove all the rock, though, in order to do that. But what I was going to do, I have huge landscape plants. I mean, I have two of them that are probably like this big, like at least 3 feet. And I can
put a ground cover in there, maybe.
It's kind of like hostas. You can split them up.
Yeah.
So in the spring, I looked it up. I was going to do it in the fall, but it says better to do it in the spring. So I can break them up, and I was going to donate them to the city because they're just so huge. I don't have room to put them in my yard anymore. So I can plant them along the edge there, and that might be enough to catch the rock. And then we can do what Mayor Stone said, just put in more rock. I mean, Maximus Lawn Care would like to have the weed fabric before we put the rock, just because it keeps the leaves down and stuff. He's going to have to do a lot of spraying.
We're not putting weed fabric down anymore.
If you put down pea gravel to start with, and then put more rock on it, the pea gravel
would hold the rock.
You can go by and just pull up any leaves. You don't need landscape fabric.
Yeah. And the pea gravel would hold the rock. The bigger
so
rocks.
So even after hard rains a few times, it's not going to wash down.
Yeah,
the rock's not going to wash
in
the rock.
If I plant those plants, I believe that'll keep everything, the dirt and the rock, from washing into the road.
By the way, I've been reading news articles on the weed mesh, and they say it's the worst thing to put down. But the true landscapers are saying you should not do it, because all it does is let the weeds get matted into it, and then you end up with more trouble, like Linda says, pulling them out.
It can cause mold, too.
Yeah.
It can cause really bad mold. Yeah. You can pick up mulch and sit on top of it. And then
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
sure,
we'll deal with that in the spring.
I mean, there's all kinds of ground covers, Landseer, Phlox, Ajuga.
Right.
Might be sturdy enough to catch.
We'll know what we've got to work with after this winter season. Okay. All right. I've got something new on here because I wanted to bring this up. Because we've got some problems with rental properties in Worthington Hills. First one is about half of the property owners that are renting properties have not registered at all. And then of the ones that have, their re-registration rate's about 30 to 35%. But we still know who they are because we've gotten earlier registrations from them. So if we start having problems with any of their rental properties, we at least know who to call or who to email. But we still have those that refuse to register their rental properties. There's also something else that has come to my attention, and that's we have zoning problems with these rental properties. All properties within the city of Worthington Hills, except for the business building and the daycare center, are listed as single-family zoning. And we have renters that are not family or don't have a relationship. They're just basically listed as roommates. That's considered a boarding house. And under Just County Code, the boarding house has to be registered, and if there's less than five people, the owner has to live on the property. That is in county ordinance. We also have a problem with people moving in multifamily and finding out tonight that they have bedrooms in the living room. And I'm thinking even in this one, we may have bedrooms in the garage. Okay? So, and again, here's the problem we're going to run into. Zoning, first off, won't approach them. They're afraid to because of this. It's a cultural thing. Okay? We've got a lot of foreigners who basically that's the way their standard of living is. And zoning enforcement has a problem with this because of the cultural thing. Okay? Even though it's state statute, even this allows any kind of sleeping as a normal sleeping area as a living room. Okay? Definitely not in the kitchen. We may have some doing that too. So I wanted to bring this to your all's attention because I'm suggesting that for the people who own property and haven't registered them, we need to take some sort of action.
I thought we had an ordinance that would allow us to do that.
That's true, but you have to have enforcement ability, and we don't have enforcement ability.
Okay.
So what I'm wanting suggestion is we do a nudge letter, okay? And what I mean by a nudge letter is we put something together and see if we can't get our legal service to put it on their letterhead and send it out to them. just basically
to enforcement or to the owners of the property?
To the owners of the property. Okay? Because when it comes out from us, they just laugh it off. But if it comes out from an attorney's office, it may be treated a little bit differently. I do know there's a couple of properties that had been fined in Worthington Hill. One in particular got notice, and then they didn't update or register the property. Okay, they got a $200 fine. And the last time I looked, the same property has got another notice out there, and it hasn't been checked on. So I'm thinking the next time she comes out, she'll check on it, because there's some property improvements that need to be done. So she'll also be looking at that, and if it's not complied with, she'll probably dump another fine on it. And again, I even passed the notice along, because this property owner also owns a second piece of property, and I sent her an email to let her know about it. But I get the inkling that that's a secondary type of violation that she does once they have a violation that's more structural or land-based. Okay, so if this other property does come up with something that needs to be fixed on the property, she'll probably get them on that, because she recognizes the name of the company. The other thing is the vacant homes. We're finally done with 4101 Northumberland Drive.
Are you sure?
Get this. It got sold. Then the people that bought it, it was sold on a we buy property or we buy homes. And then I guess when they got out there, because I talked to a real estate agent when I saw the sign come up, I said, do you know that home hasn't been lived in forever? And he says, yeah, we kind of figured that out once we got into it. I guess they never went out and looked at it before they even paid cash for this house. So they put it back up on the market.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, they don't want it, so they resold
They resold it, and believe it or not, they resold it for $70,000 more than what they bought it for. And they didn't do anything to it other than clean out the garbage that was in the house.
Which, where is this at? 4101, I'm trying to think.
It's right the street from you.
Is that the one on the corner?
Yeah, it's right on the corner.
Oh, okay, I know that one. Yeah. I've seen the dumpster. Yeah. I cleaned it out.
And I went online down at the clerk's office because they had a bunch of liens on it because of violations. They've all been paid. They've all been released. So whatever the person was supposed to get, they got listed as the buying property, or there was almost $5,000 in liens on that property. Yeah. But anyhow, that is a problem, because we don't know who to contact in a lot of these cases. Okay? We don't have a phone number. We don't, you know, other, you mail it to them, you don't know if it's going to get there. You know, we've got nice properties. Well, one on Ardwine, sitting there empty. And they still haven't replied back to my inquiry on you know, the original owner who transferred to another person, And so, again, in this property, again, this is one of them that's got a lien on it, and it can't be sold. So, non-compliance is a real issue, and it's an issue because we don't have a code enforcement board. So the only thing we can do is nudge them. Send them something that looks legal from an attorney, and that's my suggestion. And
well, it's not going to just look legal. It is going to be legal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But it's not coming from a city official, is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah.
Okay? It's going to be something that's going to say, oh, now they've got an attorney involved.
Isn't there some kind of, I don't know, housing code or something that would require them to have a lien on code enforcement? If, like, if people are residing in a garage or a shed, that there has to be running water or something? Isn't there something like that?
Yeah, technically.
Or a bathroom, or, I mean.
Again, there. It's supposed to be enforced because it's an ordinance, okay, and it's a state statute, okay. But with all the NAACP and everybody else going after these people on people's rights,
right?
Okay.
I mean, there are cultures.
Yeah.
Their whole family lives with these.
Right, and that's
lives.
What we're running into.
But living in a garage is. I mean, a garage is built for a car. It's not built for living.
I understand that. I'm just saying we suspect things are going on, but the problem is getting the government officials that are responsible for those things to actually act on them because they're afraid of being taken into a lawsuit. I'll bring it up again next month, okay?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, build an apartment over your garage. Or we had a guy that was residing in the shed at one of my neighbors, and the health department and code enforcement came out and told him, you can't live in this shed.
Well.
So, it's a bizarre question.
Why is it that it's okay to live on the street, you can't live in the shed?
That's true. He didn't own the home, or he was a friend of someone that lived. Yeah, why they?
Thing just was himself outside of the shed.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah. She didn't want him in the house, but
you put him in the shed.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, but someone called on them. So anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I wanted to bring up on those subjects. Is there any other new business anybody wants to bring up? If not, we're ready for the commission reports.
I'll go first. I have nothing to report. I have done nothing this month.
Well, then you deserve your paycheck.
Stop my pay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's not that you didn't do. I know.
I do drive around and check for potholes and stuff, but I don't need to tell y'all that. You know.
Okay.
You'll have stuff to do.
All right.
Now, when the snow gets here, if the snow gets here.
I said that word is banned in this city.
Yeah, 11:05. I draw the city for street light checks. There were street lights out at 11911. Caswell Drive and 11917 Caswell Drive and 4000 Pacelli Place. I reported those street lights out on 11-7. 11-19, I drove the city for a street light check. Street lights were flickering at 119 Caswell on and off.
They do that over there.
Yeah, and then a street light at 11919 behind the dumpster has a tilted shade. So I'm going to call and report those tomorrow. 11:21 attended the meeting and will participate in the radio.
I'll send you the poll.
That's the question. She's still giving me.
Yeah.
I think
done?
She's done.
Yeah.
Done. How about that light pole in front of the city entrance?
Oh, I forgot to write that down. Yes, sorry about that.
I'm sorry.
11:18, Crystal called and notified me that the street light was down at the entrance to Worthington Hills. And I called LG&E and reported it right after speaking with Crystal.
Just pass one over.
Who got it? Who got the pole removed? Did you guys remove the pole or did LG&E?
No, we don't touch poles. Never touch a light pole.
Yeah,
period.
I didn't want to touch it. I just took pictures of it.
You call it in and that's it. They come out and do it.
Okay.
Okay. After I got your email, I called her, but I'd already I'd already called LG&E too.
All right.
I figured, and they asked me more questions than I could ever believe, just for a light pole down, other than the location. Okay. All right, go ahead, Commissioner Adams, you're next.
My commission report is from October 18th to November 21st. I'll go ahead and participate in the radio checks with Commissioner Metcalf and everyone tonight, November 21st. There was one citizen call this month inquiring about driveway expansion. I forwarded that to Mayor Stoneham so he could give the citizen all the details. I also received a call from a friend and citizen who knows I'm a commissioner on the morning of November 19th. She called to inform the commission that there was a light pole down at the front entrance of Worthington Hill. I drove up to the location and took a few pictures and sent Mayor Stoneham and Commissioner Maupin an email. I also called and left Commissioner Maupin a voicemail. In October, I called Evergreen Irrigation and got the water lines turned off and winterized for the season. I also asked them to investigate if we had a leak. I planted the two barberry bushes up on the front island myself in late October. I kept the remaining bushes watered and at my residence. In November, Maximus Lawn Care took care of planting two crepe myrtle bushes on the flagpole island. He also planted two crepe myrtle bushes at the front of Boynton Island. Two remaining city bushes still need to be planted. These two will be planted where the tree fell in the easement near Rustburg Court. Maximus Lawn Care is aware and will do this soon. He currently has these two city bushes in his possession on his property. They have been recently watered and are in good shape. Received email from Commissioner Beville about Boynton Island. The landscaping rock and fabric were damaged during the construction phase of the new curb. Contacted Maximus Lawn Care to get an estimate together to repair this area. Maximus Lawn Care will provide a written estimate to my email soon. I also called Evergreen Irrigation to get the results of their investigation of our water meters. I left a voicemail message and will follow up with them.
All right. Thank you, Mr. McCaff.
I drove the city on multiple occasions, conducted radio checks at the last city meeting, and will conduct radio checks tonight using Channel 2. Went to post office with Mayor Stoneham each Friday, except Friday at 11:10:23, Beverly Lesson, I went to the post office. On 11-3-23, issued parking permits to 4907 Northumberland Drive. On 10-23-23, issued parking permits to 12017 Bay Run Drive. On 11-3-23, at 6:59 p.m., received a call from a resident at 11007 Looneyburg Drive about a big dog running loose. The dog belonged to 11005 Looneyburg. I attempted to talk to the owners of the dogs. They would not answer the door, and the dogs were back inside. On 11-9-23, received a call from a resident complaining about a car parked on the street in front of 12112 Bay Garden Drive. The vehicle was Jeep Grand Cherokee and no doors or license plate. I placed a no parking on street flyer on the vehicle and forward info to Derby City Protection.
All right, thank you. All right. For the mayor's closing remarks, I made sure you all got a copy of this because I thought it would be interesting to you. Earlier this month, COWH property owners received their 2023 Jefferson County property tax bill. On each bill, there is a listing of governmental agencies and its per $100 of value tax rate. Most property owners are just paying their bill and thinking nothing more about it. But then there are some of us that wonder what these agencies are providing for services in exchange for my tax dollars. As an individual property owner, you only see your tax portion and not what the total amount of Jefferson County's property tax being collected for COWH properties. So for those interested, in full disclosure, here's the breakdown. Total adjusted COWH land and improvement property tax value, $119,057,610. When you take the agency's tax rate per $100 and the grand total received, here's what the state at 11 a 0.11%, they're receiving $130,963.37. Metro at 0.124%, $147,631.44. JPCS, 0.76%, $904,837.84. AM Fire, which is Anchorage Middletown Fire District, 0.16%, $190,492.18. That's a grand total of $1,373,924.82. As far as the state and the Anchorage Middletown Fire District, most of us agree these two agencies are providing valuable and adequate service to us. As far as JPCS, it's a matter of personal opinion. But when it comes to Metro's merged government, property owners, and or residents of home rule cities aren't receiving their money's worth of services from Louisville Metro Jefferson County government. Got to correct this typo. Even though COWH's property tax revenue to Jefferson County only amounts to $147,631.44, we are one of the 83 home rule cities contributing to Metro's combined government revenue stream. Well, let's keep in mind, each of the 83 home rule cities have budgeted and are providing some type of police / security protection, waste disposal services, and various needed / required utilities at a minimum and without any monetary reimbursement from Louisville Metro Jefferson County. Case in point, one, LMPD Division 8 has the smallest assigned number of police officers and the largest assigned territory in Jefferson County, and as such, non-emergency response times may take hours, if at all. Case in point number two, Metro Public Works consistently refuses to issue various permits when the property is located in a home rule city, even though we are required to comply with Louisville Metro's Land Development Code. As a reminder, they refuse to provide COWH and other home rule cities with cleanup support and equipment after the June 26, 2018 F1 tornado. Final point. District 18 Councilman Winkler, in my opinion, has very little interest in encouraging and or improving Metro Public Works services to residents living in any of the home rule cities within his district. COWH has had issues with noise and light pollution coming from a neighboring facility, which he failed to assist COWH residents with, even though it was an obvious and serious health and welfare issue. This matter could have been resolved by zoning code enforcement requiring the facility to remove the unpermitted asphalted parking lot expansion, which encroached on our city's boundary, and restore our 50-foot grassy utility easement. In addition, Councilman Winkler deflects to either there's not an interlocal agreement in place, or you need to speak with Metro County attorney whenever it's convenient means to end the conversation. The Kentucky legislature is currently holding hearings on the Louisville/ Jefferson County merger. What's their legislative solution going to be regarding the merger? Hopefully something favorable to every tax-paying property owner and or resident currently being underserved by Louisville Metro Jefferson County government. And that's it.
You'll have to change that to JCPS, Jefferson County Public.
No, okay. Glad you pointed that out. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Yeah, I've got some typos in my little, but I tried to read the best I could. This is disturbing. because if you just multiply 83 by what we owe, okay, that's over $83 million that all these small cities throughout Jefferson County are paying in property tax. So, and most, you know, Middletown, Douglas Hills, you know, J-Town, those are bigger cities. The property values are much higher over there. So, with all that said, is there anything that the audience might want to add? Okay. All right. Do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll make a motion to adjourn and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Commissioner Babil.
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Y'all have a blessed evening, and the time is 8:20.